Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. I'm Joshua Fisher, along with Alexander Tassopoulos and Nikki Snacks Kreider. What? We don't only do the radio, guys. We also do a podcast, also called The Charity Stripe. You could find us anywhere you get your podcast. You could join us on Instagram at the.charity.stripe for some awesome fun polls on our Instagram story and interactive goodness, and on Twitter at _charitystripe_. Game 4, NBA Finals, goes to the Bucks, 109-103. Both teams have won at home. No road team has won yet. The Suns will have the last laugh. A, do we think this is going to seven? B, can we also, this is not a question, by the way. B is not a question. Whenever a player loses, like a major player, and I said this to you while we were watching the game, everyone's like, oh, all of a sudden, like James Harden loses with the Rockets. I remember back in the day, you can't win with James Harden. You can't win with so-and-so as your best player. Even if the Bucks lose, can we put to rest that statement for Giannis? Because he's given it all he's got. So maybe it is a question, actually. Point B. Can we put that statement to rest?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I think we... Didn't we talk about it last time where we said that this is the best basketball he's been playing?
Yeah.
This is the best... Look what he was able to do today, even without scoring 40 points.
Yeah.
He was so instrumental at the very end of that game, where we've been so critical of him in games past, in the playoffs and in the regular season, where, you know, there's always been that kind of thing that everyone has said about Giannis, where in the last 5 minutes of the game, he's kind of useless. But yeah, he ends up making the biggest play of the night by blocking that alley-oop that DeAndre seemed like a wide open 2 points for them. Yeah, Booker lobbed it to DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, the value part two, and they said no dice.
Yeah.
No Andrew Dice Clay.
And then no Andrew Dice Clay. And
no then, Dice well, K. Matsusaka.
Nice. Nick, attaboy.
The gyro ball.
Yeah, he went 18-3 one year, by the way. I don't know
for
why.
For the Sox?
Yeah, he did. He's good. Anyway.
Giannis, yeah, but wins don't matter in baseball.
Not anymore. That was back in the day.
How many quality starts do you have?
Yeah, and that's what we're talking
the
about.
The wins didn't matter in basketball either.
Yeah.
At least in the regular season. But here they are, the Bucks, led by Giannis. 2-2. It's a wide open series. Wide opens with Dixie Chicks. and I don't know if it's going to go to seven, but it feels like it is.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks, the Suns have to get it together. We can't have like
We've got game
explosion.
Three. Booker only has 10
Chris
points.
Chris Paul then needs to get it together.
Game four, Chris Paul was horrific.
What did I say, though? I want to say, what did I say?
Now, you're saying guys can't win with this person as your best player?
Yeah.
We've talked about narratives a lot in these playoffs. Obviously, for Chris Paul and for Giannis, the two like kind of front runner guys for these narratives, and now here they are both in the finals. What it would mean for each of these individuals to win their first final. Chris Paul blew it tonight. Like Nick was saying, he's had 15 turnovers in the last three games. He had four tonight, one of which in the last 2 minutes of the game. We're talking about a guy who, in previous years is heralded as one of the best clutch time players, which means in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, when it's a six-point differential or less, he's statistically one of the best clutch players ever. But last year against the Rockets in game seven, he had a crucial turnover, and he does it again here. Like, we're watching like a hawk.
It wasn't like a turnover that, you know, okay, he turned the ball over. It was a bad turnover.
Yeah,
right. Like, he just lost the handle of the
that
ball.
That resulted with a Chris Middleton fast break layup.
And one.
That didn't get called.
That didn't get called. Yeah. That was almost. It was a timeout. Almost got called. That was the 103-99. Almost got called.
There were two fast break defensive plays that Devin Booker made that were not called that should have been fouls and would have been his sixth foul.
I don't know
why
he was doing that either. And also, let me say this on top of all of that. Listen, I hate to be like braggadocious because people on the radio don't know how many times I've gotten things wrong in the past in all 340 plus of our podcast
episodes.
Clean slate. I think I did say it's totally plausible that they can kind of go back and forth, one having a bad game and the other having a bad game, and this is what's happened.
That's the thing about playoff basketball, and it was something that the Bucks have dealt with as well. You have to have from your best players, they have to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of them's going to be great, right?
Right.
But you can't be bad. And that's what Chris Paul was tonight, and that's what Devin Booker was in game.
And then you look on the other side of it, and Chris Middleton and Giannis both played great.
Yeah.
I mean, Middleton had a 40 piece. Okay.
He put up a lot of shots. He didn't shoot that well, but.
Yeah. A couple questions, though. Yeah, he did put up a lot of shots.
Maybe a couple of answers. We'll see.
Thank you, Nick. Let me ask you this, though. Is it plausible if the Suns win in seven, but Giannis continues to play like this, that he wins the finals MVP even though his team has lost?
Is that possible?
Is that possible?
No.
I don't think they can do that, right?
Because the same thing happened.
Has that ever happened before?
I'm looking it up.
That's why Iguodala won MVP.
Because their team won.
Because LeBron James was very clearly the best
player.
Would have
been LeBron.
Yeah.
Someone's done it. I knew someone has done it. Okay. Just once in NBA history. In 1969, has the finals MVP been awarded to a player on the losing team?
It was the Bucks, wasn't it?
No.
Was it the next year?
Bucks won in 71. By the way, all the guys were at the Bucks game Wednesday night. Kareem, Big O, all those boys were there. Kind of swag.
Chris Tucker was there too.
Okay.
Shout out to his family.
Shout out to Chris Tucker's family. And shout out to
Rush Hour 2. It's the best one.
Which is one of the movies. It's a rare movie. That's two is better than one. I actually have a couple of those. Godfather, Hangover.
Well, isn't Rush Hour 2 in Hong Kong? Is that why?
Yes.
Because the Rush Hour 1's in LA.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, when they go overseas,
yeah,
it's game over.
Ricky Tan.
Yeah.
Ricky
Tan is the baddest villain of all time.
Is he?
That's a hot take. That is a scorcher.
No, but there's an excellent moment where Jackie is running.
Are you Ricky Tan? You know Ricky Tan?
Chris Tucker's so funny.
Yeah,
he's so funny.
He's amazing.
When he's singing
Michael Jackson.
Tito is what we had for breakfast yesterday.
Yeah.
Ricky Tan's not. The guy with the blonde hair, though.
Juntao.
That's in Rush Hour 1.
Juntao.
Juntao, yeah. He was a bad man.
Well, he's the fake Juntao. Yeah.
He's a beast. Okay, but anyway, who's the guy? Who's the player that's won the finals MVP? Do you want the team?
Sure.
Lakers. Famous nickname.
Worthy?
No.
I don't know.
Worthy was not even on the lake. Wasn't drafted then.
Later.
He was later.
Mikan?
No.
He's still
relevant in basketball today.
Baylor?
No. Relevant.
Is he the logo?
Yes, he is, Nicholas.
Jerry West.
Jerry.
Yes, Nick, the logo. Yeah, Jerry West against the Celtics. He lost in seven. He wins finals MVP. I look this up.
We're young, by the way. That's why that took a while.
We're a bunch of
young
boys.
We're 16.
We're 16. That could be one of my favorite moments of all. We told Bill Walton, who had asked it. Bill Walton's like, how old are you guys? 16? When we interviewed Bill Walton on our podcast.
He bought it. And then he continued to ask us if we had kids. We
just said yes.
He said, Nick, do you have kids? And I said, no, I'm 16. I don't have kids yet. And he goes, okay, well, you'll know how to answer that question when you have kids of your own. I asked him if MJ or LeBron was better.
Yeah, that was the question. But when I looked up, hey, losing team at finals MVP, the first headline that comes up is, could Giannis win even if the Bucks lose? He's playing that well.
I don't think it's possible.
I don't know who the Lakers played in 69, but the Suns
There's clear guys on that roster that are deserving if they win this series.
I completely agree.
Like, I mean, Devin Booker put up 40 today.
He put up 42 points.
If he has another
in
bad
an away game,
game
and he I'm shot saying, over 50%.
I'm saying if he has a bad game, is all.
Okay.
And that was that team, by the way, with the Celtics they beat. Player coach Jackie Moon was on the team. Bill Russell, the OG Jackie Moon. They had Sam Jones, they have Havlicek. So that team
all around.
Yeah, it's a great team all around. Are you still in on the Suns? Because before we were everyone.
I am.
Everyone, like Kendrick Perkins is blowing the entire
If you're
Suns
looking
team.
At it from the way that we just talked about it, where no road team has won, they've got two in Phoenix. So,
yeah.
I also think that they're a more complete team. So, and this was a close game. They had to lead the entire game until the end. I think the Suns still got it.
I don't expect another epic collapse from Chris Paul.
No. This is a look in the mirror and
you got to dig deep.
Together.
You got to dig deep here.
You can't lose the next
game. I knew they were going to lose one in Milwaukee. But you have to give Milwaukee tons of credit because they played a really great game.
Their fans
tonight.
Are electric too.
They have outstanding atmosphere. Now you're going back to talking stick.
You're intimidated by the Milwaukee outside toss.
It's crazy how many people they bring on Deer Street.
I would love to be there.
Should we rip it? Is that insane?
For game six?
Yeah, when is that?
Like in a week?
Saturday.
Tuesday. Right?
Saturday is game five.
Should we score?
Lines right now.
Oh, betonline.ag.
If you're going to betonline.ag, which you should if you're going to put any
we're
bets.
We're sponsored by.
Mm-hmm. That we are, Nick. Milwaukee +4.
Okay.
Suns -4. Milwaukee to win +160. The over is 218.5.
I don't like it.
The over is sketch.
I think I would take the under, and I would take Suns
to
-4.
I would take them to win.
I would take -4.
Spread. So
haven't been a lot of close games.
That's
the
thing. None of these games have been a 4-point game, and that's usually what the line has been.
This
four,
game
five and a half.
This game
was
6 points, but it was a 4-point. Like.
Yeah,
you get free throws at the end. Like this was a very.
But that's
game.
What we're playing with nowadays. We're playing with major free throws at the end. They were free. They were like they were tagging them until the end of time.
Yeah,
literally the end of time.
I mean,
it was like 2 seconds left.
They I'm a little bit disappointed that like we didn't get a. I won a last second shot in the finals. Like, can we get that?
We will.
And Chris Paul, he blew it because that turnover. If they get a two, they get a stop on defense. They get one extra shot to either tie it or win the game. That's what I want, but. Again, Giannis made a tremendous play defensively, and then Chris Paul just had a flub.
Right.
The basketball gods are giving us this. They were like, okay, the games aren't very close, but we're seeing good basketball out of our stars here and there from the Suns.
Yep.
And we're revving up to a game seven where we're going to see a crazy closeout. I mean, like, look, the Warriors versus the Cavs, that closeout was biblical.
Yeah.
I think we could get something along those lines.
I do think, especially for how many people have poo-pooed both of these teams for being in the finals because they weren't necessarily the two teams that were supposed to be here, right? It was supposed to be the Lakers and the Nets. Or the Clippers if they had had a healthy Kawhi.
Yeah.
The Nuggets if they had had Murray. Like, and I do believe that if the Nets had Harden and Durant, they would be here and they would be winning this series.
Without
very
Kyrie.
Very easily, yes. Yeah. None of that matters, though, because what happened, happened. Here we are.
Same thing if Kawhi was healthy, too. I believe that if Kawhi was healthy, they would also win.
I believe that if Kawhi were healthy and James Harden and Kevin Durant ran into the Clippers, they would destroy. Like, I just think the Nets were that good with both of them healthy.
Yeah, I mean, if they had all three of those guys, they would have buzzsawed everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
They would have hacksawed Jim Duggan, but they didn't. And that was the issue we said with that team. You need everyone to be healthy. If you were building a table, like, obviously.
They played less than 15 games together.
Mm-hmm.
Building a lot of tables.
Yeah, well, I've built a lot of tables, including the one that we were sitting around right now.
If you helped, okay.
Nikki did help. If we build a table and all the table, it's a nice table, but it's just got four legs and that's all, and one of the legs goes down, the table's screwed. Now, if you have all the accoutrements on the table, like the other layers, like, you know, like the cubby areas, like other stuff holding it up.
The stain.
Like
the lacquer.
And I'm just saying like the different layers that keep it together. If one of those layers goes down, okay, you still have other things holding the table together.
Yeah.
Now, you could have the nicest table in the world. One of those legs goes down, you're in trouble. That's what's happened to the Nets.
Right.
And honestly, you don't know if they'll get, forget that.
Forget about the Nets. They've okay, so we're here. We're it's 2-2. Does it kind of feel like, we're talking about bringing back those narratives we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, Devin Booker as well, Monty Williams, Budenholzer not being a great coach. I feel like that's been a narrative the entire playoffs. It always is, right? And here he is, Giannis taking the step up, becoming this elite player, even after winning two finals MVPs, I think, or two regular season MVPs. What he's done in the finals and in the playoffs has been epic, absolutely epic. It feels like the biggest story here, like you said, like if they lose the Bucks, can he still win finals MVP? It feels like his story, his narrative is superseding Chris Paul, the Suns, to me at least, now that they've won these last two games. And it could just be a little bit of recency bias, but like, I don't know. He's been the best player in the series.
He's been the best player in the world for like a period of time. There was
the
a
last 2 years.
It feels like to me that it's going to mean more.
It means the NBA, at first glance, everyone's like, oh, we need Chris Paul to win. Chris Paul's like done so much for the NBA, which he has, obviously, on and off the court. And Chris Paul is one of everyone's favorite players. We want him to win, yada, yada, yada. It's cool for Phoenix.
The point guard.
It matters most for the NBA if the Bucks win. If the Bucks win, that means they get an international player, the face of international basketball, arguably, winning the finals. They get a team who is a mid-market... Luka. Hey, Luka's on. That's why I said arguably.
Right.
They get a mid-market team winning the NBA finals.
Yeah,
they
get teams, though.
Yeah, but they lock Giannis. Listen, Chris Paul's done soon.
With a guy that...
Chris Paul's done soon.
With a guy that showed team loyalty to sign with the team, and he'll stay.
The thing is, I think Giannis is going to get another opportunity. I think this is Chris Paul's only shot.
He could leave, though. He could leave and go somewhere. If he loses now, he could leave and go somewhere.
Giannis is so young. He's got plenty of time to win a championship.
But they want
the first one is always the most meaningful.
It's the most elusive, too.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, look how long look how long it took LeBron to get.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
So what this could mean for
Dirk,
the legacy.
Steph, too.
The legacy of Giannis going forward, because we've kind of, for a lot of us, looking at him critically, it's kind of been a plateau, right? Like where he won those MVPs, but like we knew he couldn't get it done in the playoffs. If he can, all time conversations, like he has to start jumping up on guys. He has to start climbing the rungs.
He's still behind Harden.
Yeah.
He's still behind.
If he
Harden's
wins one.
A better player.
No. If he wins one.
Giannis is a better player than James Harden.
He's got two MVPs and a finals MVP and a championship.
And defensive player of the year. Yeah, Nick.
LeBron was 28 when he won his first championship.
And Giannis is 26.
Right.
Look, but it matters.
LeBron's got four now.
They want Giannis to win because they want Giannis to be the face. It is so huge
for
the global market.
Or he was 27 going on 28, whatever.
It's so huge for the global market if Giannis wins. The global market's clearly... Look, who's the MVP this year?
I forget.
Jokic. It's been so long. Yeah, it's a hilarious answer. Foreign guy. Cover of 2K.
Luka.
Foreign guy.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta go global.
On the heels of two USA losses as well.
You gotta
foreign guys.
Foreign guys. You gotta go global here. You gotta think globally. And I think it's important for the Bucks. I think it's a great point. I think the narrative now has to shift like Giannis becoming potentially the face of the NBA.
Trust me, I'm so on board with him being the face, and I understand the whole global thing. But at the same time, like, it is Greece. You know, it's a smaller country. Like, if it's like...
Whoa! Wow!
If it's like China, then that's something different, I feel like.
Wow.
But I feel like it's not that big of a deal.
Well, Nick. No, I mean, I do think he's...
We have
okay.
a fairly one of your
no,
boys,
no, no, no,
dude.
Not, it's, I think it's less about... He's Greek. Obviously, but he also, his family is from Nigeria.
Okay, that helps.
He's a black international athlete, which right. I think that is really, really important.
True.
And for him to come over and do what he's been able to do and like assimilate with American culture so well and take a team like Milwaukee in a city
guy.
Like Milwaukee, he's a great guy. He's a family guy. He's got his brother on the team. You see him with his brothers and his mom all the time.
He
like
worked for Steph. Like Steph being the face of the NBA for a bit of time was awesome.
Yeah,
and Katie ruined it.
There's the thing about the NBA now is that it's such a star-driven league that there are multiple guys that are going to be the driving force of the league.
Right.
Of course.
That's a great point.
And we've got Kevin Durant, who's going to be around for a little bit longer.
Luka.
Steph as well. You've got guys like Tatum and Mitchell. And
Booker.
Yeah, these young guns. Trae Young as well. Like, all these guys. Like, sorry for not mentioning anyone. But
Ja Morant.
Yeah, Lillard and Ja and... There's tons of guys that people can gravitate towards.
Can Giannis be the next LeBron, though?
He's Shaq. He's Shaq minus like the attitude. He is Shaq.
And
he
a better shooter.
He just really is Shaquille O'Neal. He's got Shaq with like a semi post fade kind of.
He can shoot threes.
Yes, he can, but not great.
But he shouldn't.
How many threes did Shaq make in his career?
No, Shaq
could one not maybe. Hit
the red side I think of it's one. Like one or something no, like
he
that.
He stinks. He stinks. From
we three. Never shot him.
Yeah, he didn't have to.
I mean, I, so no, dumb. I mean, I think the kind of the distinct. Well, Shaq obviously is as far as like physical presence. That both of these guys are, their physicality is out of this world. But Shaq had like 70 pounds on him. I mean, he's just like, when that guy drops down, yeah. Guys, they moved out of the way.
But I mean, I feel like Giannis has the speed aspect.
In the modern faster. NBA, like, you don't have to be 70 pounds more than a guy. Like, his length.
Right. That's honestly going to hurt you if you're that big, I feel like. Right?
Yeah.
There's guys.
He's just so good. He's just so good defensively, though. Like
Olajuwon, he's so quick. He's good, long and quick and athletic.
Can guard smalls.
Like, people forget Olajuwon was like not seven, like not that, not as big as people thought.
But my point being is he's won two MVPs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He hasn't won his championship yet.
Right.
This is pending. And he's 26 years old, right? Yeah. If he gets that ring by 28, which is on the same pace that LeBron was on, and let's say he end up leaves Milwaukee, right, and goes to a super team or links up with another superstar or something, mm-hmm. he could have a similar career to LeBron.
Mm.
Very similar.
Yeah, no, totally. It's similar, I mean, career, yeah.
It's not, you know, out of the question that he's going to win multiple more MVPs.
No, he could. He had a great year this year.
How many defensive player of the years has he won?
One. He got one, right?
One, yeah. But he was all NBA defensive team this year.
Every time he is. He's all NBA defensive team every single time.
I think statistically, I mean, LeBron's longevity obviously is something that not many guys are going to be able to do, if any at all, throughout their entire career. He also just, from a basketball IQ standpoint, it's just he's got 20 more points of basketball IQ than Giannis does. What he can do as a playmaker, like, I don't think Giannis can lead the league in assists.
No, I mean, LeBron is no different. Chance. Yeah, but I think
he had nine tonight, right? Eight tonight, right?
Eight. No, he's a great passer. He's got great vision. He's a great passer.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I mean, they still have a lot. What I'm learning from this is, if he wins, that is going to help him for his claim to being considered with all of the legendary greats that we talk about all the time. Also, yeah, this could be done again because the Bucks still have moves to be made. Because we're just getting back to the point that, like, Giannis is, like, he's doing it all, like, not by himself. Because, obviously, Middleton had 40 points tonight.
Drew,
but, like,
Holiday's in and out.
Pat Connaughton's playing 30 minutes. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. Brooke Lopez only can play 15 minutes because, like, the Suns are playing him off the court.
Portis.
Yeah, you don't have – yeah, you've got Bobby Portis. Like, you've got Jeff Teague. They need more help, and they can still get more help. And maybe this could be the next dynasty.
Could be. In Milwaukee. All right. It's a good question to leave the people on.
Yeah.
We're the Charity Stripe. We'll be right back after these brief messages. We're back, baby. Again, it's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws because they're free. I'm Joshua Fisher along with Alexander Tassopoulos and San Diego's own Nicholas Snacks Kreider. All-Star Game happened this weekend, or this week. Baseball back in full swing. Great All-Star Week. I really enjoyed that.
It was a fun one. The Home Run Derby was definitely the most electric I've seen in a long time. Actually, just in my recent memory. I think the best one that I saw was the Josh Hamilton year where he was hitting at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. He like.
But this one, I think, trumped it.
Yeah. This, first of all, I think what Alonso's doing for it, trying to elevate himself as the Home Run King, obviously he wants that crown of like the Home Run Derby.
Well, he wants to take down Griffey. Getting three of them.
But that's like what it used to be in like the 80s and 90s. In like the early 2000s, in the dunk contest, when that was so popular.
The other thing is, though, he's making more money off the Home Run Derby this year, just winning it, than his salary is this year.
That's also true. He makes a mil, and his salary's not a mil.
600K.
I mean, there's a pretty big incentive for a guy who's on a rookie deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think if you go across the board, though, it's like Alonso wins it again. Now he's back-to-back champ, because they didn't have it last year. Alonso's back-to-back champ. But in the mix also was Soto, who's a superstar.
Mancini,
who has a great story.
Mm-hmm.
You have Story himself, who's the hometown guy. They always have a hometown guy in there. It's going to L.A. next year. So it's going to L.A.
Bellinger's in it.
Bellinger's going to do it. You best believe I will be.
Tatis will be in it.
For sure.
He said he wanted to go against Alonso. They interviewed him after the home run derby. They said, what do you think? He goes, yeah, I think I'll take him on next year.
Yeah, you see, now
he's
in it.
I was so out on him this year just because of the fact that he's already been injured a couple of times.
These guys are fine.
Earlier in the season, he had that swing that took him out for a couple of, I guess, like a week or so. But mm-hmm. you can't have your superstar in the home run derby if he's had multiple injuries in one season. Like, let him get a full healthy season under his belt. If he's healthy next season, let him go after it.
It's great for the baseball narrative.
It almost makes for a better story, too.
Right? I believe that I'm not just saying this as a Padres fan. I think he could beat Alonso.
Maybe. That guy put up 35. Dude, Perez put up 28 in the first round and crazy. Lost.
It's crazy. He had the second most in the first round.
Okay, so my father, for those listeners who don't know, is a Mets fan, was in Iceland on vacation.
Missed it.
He had just landed today, and I called him. I'm like, dude, do you watch? Do you get to watch? He goes, no, we like no phones. Like, we're just kind of really out there. And I was like, you missed the polar bear. How many hit? I go, in the first round? Go 35. He goes, oh, I freaked out on the phone. It's crazy.
35. They shattered the over under on home runs. It was 253 and a half. I think it was 253 and a half was the over under on home runs.
They cruise out like the first took that. Round.
Actually, I think it was 235 or 253. I'll figure it out. But regardless, they crushed it. Yeah. They crushed it before the finals even went down.
Well, the Shohei was the number one seed, and he swung against Soto in the first matchup.
Yeah.
And that went to a swing off.
Biblical, which Soto went 3-for-3.
Which was unbelievable. And everyone praises him as being one of the clutchest hitters in the MLB already at such a young age.
Dude, he's like my favorite hitter.
235 and a half was the over-under. They hit over 300.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a guy. Soto is a guy who's he's got a ton of pop.
Yeah.
He's not known for pop.
But the way he swings.
He's a 5-tool player.
The way he swings is not, it's a line drive swing. It's not meant to get the balls out of the park like Pete Alonso.
Didn't he have the longest home run, though?
He did.
He had 518, I think.
520.
He's the on-base king.
He also did what Acuna did in 2019 where he was hitting the ball all over. I was tremendously impressed.
Well, I like the approach of going off, just going with your pitch and going all around the field.
If you're a lefty as well, that wall is so tough in Colorado.
Righty has the advantage for sure.
We talk about going with the pitch. Pete Alonso's pitching, the guy that was pitching to him.
Jazz
is... You look at the radar, the strike zone where he hit.
Boom. Electric.
Every time.
He was the money.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, it's trust me, it's about your power, but it's also 50% about your pitching, too.
For sure.
If you have a terrible pitcher, then you're screwed.
My only knock on him was that he was pretty slow.
I kind of feel like he was slow. And that's why I was kind of worried. Well, I had Mancini, and I was worried for Mancini, but at the same time, I was kind of confident because the pace of Mancini's pitcher was so much different than the pace of Alonso's pitcher.
It was nearly double.
The thing is, the percentage that Alonso was hitting those balls at, he hit five in a row to end it, right?
Yeah, he got into that extra minute, and he only needed 17
seconds. Part of the reason why Ohtani got knocked out in the first round is because his pitching wasn't great.
Ohtani, you know what got worrisome for me, honestly, when the home run derby got, it was after we recorded last week, it came out that he hasn't taken BP, and obviously he had a great first round.
Right. He hasn't taken BP all year. Since March.
That's kind of worrisome to me. I don't know why, because it is a BP.
Well, it's a different style of hitting, right?
Yeah.
It didn't look like his usual swing.
Yeah.
I think he's used to hitting 95. I think he prefers 95, 100-mile-per-hour fastballs.
A lot of these guys prefer the fastball. That's
right.
Park City, Utah.
Right.
But I think it's great, though, for the league now, because you have all of a sudden the home run derby is this thing, because Alonso's brash, Alonso's loud, Alonso's New York. One of the New York teams. If you don't think the Yankees, who are now, after spending all this money, after all this promise, are worse than the Mets right now, if you don't think Aaron Judge is sitting there going, okay, it's in Los Angeles next year,
I need
Dodger
to be in it.
Stadium, he's got to be in it.
Yeah, or Stanton, one of the two.
It's got to be one of them. It's got to be Alonso back. Guerrero's got to be in it, too.
You got to put maybe JD.
Tatis.
Devers, maybe.
I don't know if any of the Sox guys, I would like it.
I think it's got to be all the big market teams.
Yeah.
It's got to be the biggest
market. Yeah, it's got to be the big market guys. Just the big personalities. We need all the guys that we know mash in there.
Yeah. Acuña.
If need him back in there.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, though, Bellinger versus Tatis versus Alonso versus Vladdy Jr. versus Judge. Those five got to be in it. You probably have to get one of the mid mid-market team guys in there. Like, it's the having Olsen and Perez in there is like good for those. Like, it's good to just round it out like that.
Yeah.
If there could be a guy that's out there mashing, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like, I mean, like, look, obviously the Rangers are slightly above mid-market, but Gallo's out there mashing. If you have another guy that's out there mashing next year,
honestly, like, I'd like to see Harper in there.
Harper would be fun, dude. And the Phillies could use it, honestly.
White Sox. Couple of guys there.
Eloy Jimenez.
Jimenez could be good. Yeah,
Jimenez would be sweet. He's a young. He's like the guy. He's like the forgotten guy right now. He was a silver slugger last year in the shortened season. Mm-hmm.
So much fun though.
It's better than the All-Star game. Is it better than the 3-point shootout? I think the 3-point shootout's electric.
I think the home run derby is the best event in terms of all of All-Star.
You guys know me. I'm a basketball guy. Yeah, yeah. That was the most fun of any All-Star event I think I've witnessed in a while.
People go nuts too. Like when Alonzo hit one, me and my roommate were talking about this. It's not like your normal, like, oh, you don't run. It was like, oh God, this is disgusting. Like,
we're going next year.
It's a different like fanatic out there. It's so different.
I love the like the game that the announcers play, the broadcasters play while they're, and sometimes they'll be like, nah, it's not out. And it just like, and it is. Yeah. Or they're like, I don't know if
that's 18. Up 19. Up like before it even lands.
You're like having a hard time because of the clock.
Well, they changed it too. It used to be whenever the ball lands is when you can take your next swing. Now you can just take your next swing after you're done swinging.
Right.
Which is great. That's why I added so many more home runs. And I think that's
utilizing the timeout in the middle of it.
Do you guys remember the OG? Like you had 10 outs.
That sucked. That's when it was boring. I mean, it was never really boring.
Well, no, but it forces guys, you're taking pitches, though.
Right, we were taking pitches at the slower pace, but also, and, like Ohtani would have been done.
Yeah.
He would have been done.
Oh, yeah.
Guys that have four home runs because they had the 10 outs quickly. I mean, that's like, honestly.
Yeah, it's once you catch your groove, that's all it is.
The Abreu session, the Hamilton session, those sessions still always impress me because that was a 10 out. Era.
Yeah. Bobby Abreu one.
Nuts. Yeah.
You know who?
That was the Astros.
Abreu, too, because it was like, again, he was kind of like Soto. Like, he wasn't just a pure pop guy, right? He was a guy that always was swinging.
A lot of bombs. Over 400, right?
But no way. I don't even think he's over 3.
Really?
I got the fact check.
He was, at least for my opinion, he was an average guy. Like, he was just like, you're hitting 320s, you're hitting 317. Like
288, yeah.
He's got a 291, he got a 280. He's never hit more than 40 home runs. He won on the Phillies, I thought.
He hit more home runs in that night than he ever did in one season. I think he ended with like 42 or something like that. Yeah.
Total. He's
you know who else? And similar kind of thing.
Miguel Tejada was
Tejada had a great one too. And he was never.
That was the same year.
Good pop for a shortstop at that time, obviously, but not like league leading pop.
Okay, ready for this crazy stat? I'm like stat junkie right now. I need to break this out. In 2004, Bobby Abreu scored 118 runs. Okay. He had 47 doubles, 30 home runs, 105 ribbies, stole 40 bases, batted .301, and his on-base percentage was .428. What place did he come in the NL MVP voting?
What year is this?
2004. Think of that stat.
Fifth.
Seventh.
23rd.
What? No way.
How ridiculous is that?
Oh, my God.
That's the steroid error.
Was that one of Barry won?
That's like Barry's last year winning when he's 39 and his on-base percentage was 600.
You're saying over 20 guys had better seasons than he did?
Including your boy Mark Loretta.
That is crazy.
And, I mean, dude, like you have guys out there like Clemens. You have Eric Gagne who's cheating. You had, I mean, I don't know. Like,
I mean, they're all cheating.
I mean, you guys had insane years that year.
That is ridiculous.
I don't know why Steve Finley and Moises Alou are getting more love than him, but like that was like the case. Juan Pierre finished ahead of him. What realm?
How many bases did he? 70?
I lied. Juan Pierre stole 45 bases in 221.
45 bases.
If you had asked me when we started this thing if I would ever mention Juan Pierre's name, like, Toss, like, you started this new game you like to play. Will he be relevant in 10 years? There's no way in my mind. I thought
10 years? Juan Pierre's done in 10 years?
I thought he'd be done 5 years ago.
Yeah. I love a good Juan Pierre reference. He was a speed demon, man.
He was the speed demon.
He was the man.
Yeah, he was the man. You know my favorite? Who's your favorite Marlin ever?
Dontrell.
Yeah, right?
Easily. Yeah, Dontrell probably. Yeah. I mean, when Gary was on there, Gary Sheffield was swag.
I'm a big Luis Castillo guy as well. So
Luis Castillo is, this is another dated.
Miggy.
When Miggy, he was with them. Yeah, I had a Miggy World Series jersey as a kid.
Alex Gonzalez.
Yeah, Luis Castillo. dropped a pop fly at second base for the Subway Series.
Subway Series, yep.
I've never been so shocked.
I remember
shocked.
That. It was the last out, right?
Yeah, last out, and they rounded the bases and they won.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Blasphemous.
It was a big when Hanley was there and he was just starting out. That was
Hanley
a lot of fun.
Hanley Ramirez was great, man. Yeah. He was good.
He really fell off.
He really fell off hard. I mean, he got fat. I mean, I hate to body shame somebody, but that's what happened. He got like,
yeah, but I mean, like, look at the Kung Fu Panda. Like, he was able to do it with some weight.
But he always had that weight. Yeah. When you're playing, like, look, Jerome Bettis had that weight. When you gain weight, you always, like, Eddie Lacy didn't always have that weight. Kelvin Benjamin, who's back as a tight end, didn't always have that weight. It's different when you have the weight.
Over. Did he move over to third?
He moved from short. He played DH. He was DH in the Sox. Like he
came. I mean,
yeah, he moved to third.
Of course, when you're at short, like you have to be able to move around. Like yeah, you got to have good range.
He moved to third. I mean, look, the Sox brought him in, and like he kind of was just not in the shape he was.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what do you think is more difficult for a player to swallow? You think it's more difficult to just be a really average player your entire career, have a nice career, or be a guy like Hanley who was like MVP caliber for a certain amount of years and then completely fall off and suck?
The latter, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys do we talk about when they're 21, 23 as just touting them as these like high prospects, and then they get to the bigs or they tinker around in the bigs and they kind of peter out? Like they're good, but they're not great. Like, yeah. I mean, even guys like a guy like on the Rangers, like Elvis Andrus has had a great career.
Yeah, he is good though.
But when he first came up,
oh, he was a huge prospect.
He was a massive prospect, and
but
talking,
a lot for his glove.
We were talking about, we were talking about that he was going to be a top three shortstop in the league for the next 10 years.
Yeah,
and like. He's been good,
but not great,
but not amazing.
But look, there's first of all, Hanley played first for us. Didn't even play third at a point. I played one game at third. I had to double check. I knew he played
you
first.
Guys, look, the Red Sox have low-key had so many players come through there. Big names, huge names,
brutal. We've had some brutal ones
and like bad contracts.
Yeah, like some bad deal.
Carl Crawford
deal was terrible.
Ellsbury, but then he ever went to the
he went to the Yankees.
The Yankees.
That was a bad deal for them too.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the big deals never work out. Just like the Hamilton deal and the Angels, the Pujols deal with the
Tell
Angels.
You one that's not working out right now, and it's in San Diego. His name is Eric Hosmer.
Dude, I could have told you that would have happened.
Here's the thing, though. Here is the thing. I will say one thing about the Padres signing Eric Hosmer.
Bad deal.
You will say the leadership is an aspect, but that opened the door for getting a guy like Manny Machado.
I guess. But
you know what? It showed players that San Diego is willing to spend money on high-level players. And it attracted other high-level players to come over.
If you would have offered Manny Machado $300 million, it does not change.
He had other suitors, though. The White Sox did the same thing.
You think Eric Hosmer's the guy that's like, okay, we're getting him over?
It's like a chess move.
Okay. It's interesting. It's a pawn.
You got to move this, whatever. You got to move this piece to get this piece
around. Pawn sacrifice.
It's a bad deal.
I think it opened the door to let the ownership spend more money.
Okay. Pawn sacrifice at a queen's price. That's what we'll call that.
Okay, I like that.
Just what I'm saying is Eric Hosmer was the biggest contract that San Diego... First of all, Will Myers was the biggest contract that San Diego was ever given out.
Yeah.
And then a year or two later, Hosmer was the biggest contract ever given out. And then Manny Machado was the biggest contract. And now Tatis is the biggest contract.
Well, look, I will say that...
It's a domino effect.
I do think that, though, I don't want to poo-poo the Padres' efforts in the past because there's been time going to get Upton, going to get Kimbrel.
Yeah, but those are all trades.
But they've gone for it before. I know.
They've gone for it, but they weren't spending money. Those are all rentals, right?
Look, you have to spend money to make money. The Red Sox, unfortunately, the Carl Crawford deal was like...
Crippling.
Well, he was crippled. Yeah. Dude, I was at a game and he was in left field and he threw a ball from left field to first base and I like honestly had the gut reaction. I was like, dude, that looked like me throwing the baseball out there. That was like a lollipop candy booty throw out from left field.
From a guy who used to be able to sling.
He was supposed to be a superstar.
He was a superstar in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Speaking of superstars, because I know we're running out of time.
We want
to talk about a couple of superstars.
Go
brought
for
to you by Sided.
Yes.
Because our Sided debate this week is Ohtani now more valuable than Mike Trout?
And your answer is?
I think he might be. Just because of the fact, so there's some factors in here. Trout's getting up there in age. He's 29. I mean, by no means that's old in the MLB. Yeah. But Ohtani is 25.
Yeah.
He could also pitch. He could pitch and he can hit. And
I think he's
putting
26.
He could put up numbers. He just turned 26?
No, he's 27.
27, Ohtani?
Yeah.
Okay, he's 27. So I guess it's only 2 years younger than Trout.
Yeah.
But regardless, he could also pitch.
Right.
Which is a whole other aspect. Garrett Cole just got a $300 million contract, right? Like, you're paying for two players.
He's not that pitcher, though. He's good.
He's not. He's maybe a $100 million pitcher, though.
He still walks. He's got to settle down a little bit.
He's the starting pitcher of the AL All-Star
but
team.
But he's not the Cy Young winner, though. Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson.
True.
He went three up, three down, though, in the All-Star
game. He started the All-Star game because he's Shohei Ohtani.
Trout also, this is his most serious injury he's ever had.
That is very true. Trout also, as much as I like him, is, and you know what? Stephen A. Smith came on air and said whatever he said. It's most important that the face of baseball is exciting, regardless of the nationality, regardless of what language he speaks. The most important, who are the most exciting baseball players? Vlad Guerrero Jr. He doesn't speak much English.
Right.
Fernando Tatis Jr. His English isn't perfect by any means. Who are these? And these guys are the, who do you want to watch?
Those guys.
I want to watch the Blue Jays. Dude,
people were going crazy when Vlad hit that home run. People were going crazy when Ohtani came out.
Dude,
there.
Vladdy bombs. Ohtani is unlike anything we've ever seen. Now, does it get to a point where he continues to do this? Are we less and less amazed?
Yeah.
Kind of similar to the, I saw a tweet. I don't want to take full credit for this, but it's an unbelievable comparison. When Russell Westbrook did the triple-double thing, and then he continued to do it time and time again, and we just never cared anymore about it. Is it become like that? It could. But this is so unheard of.
It's baseball, though.
Well, I think everything correlates to winning at a certain point, right? Like we bring a more critical lens when
how many pitchers they take.
Fantastic feats happen, and they don't lend.
Angels,
they don't lend itself to winning.
Angels drafted 20 pitchers in this last MLB draft. All 20 rounds took a pitcher. They're putting a premium on pitchers here. One of those guys got to pan out, and they want to win.
Well, that's
for sure.
Dude, look at who's the Mets starting pitching is. You got the best pitcher in baseball, arguably the best pitcher we've ever seen. You got Stroman, who's good. Taiwan Walker's an all-star. You have a great 1-2-3. Who do they take at the 10th overall pick?
A pitcher.
Kumar Rocker, who's ready to go, by the way.
Right.
Who can pitch?
He can pitch next year.
Dude, they go to the playoffs, he can pitch.
True. Is that possible? They allow that?
He's on the team. Nice. You sign the deal, you're on the team. He's done with college. College is over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're trusting a college player to go
Royals
out there and throw
the... Who was the Royals guy that did it? Who was the... Brandon Finnegan. I think it's Brandon Finnegan for the Royals. I think they traded some of the Reds. Maybe
Sheamus'
brother. I will say Ryan Weathers of the Padres made his debut in the playoffs last year against the Dodgers. So, I mean, it's not unheard of. But
he was drafted last year, right?
No, he was drafted, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. He came out of high school.
I think I'm pretty sure. I'm looking it up, so bear with me a hot second. I'm almost positive. I think it was Brandon Finnegan who came in and pitched in the World Series.
But what you're saying is pitching's valuable.
Yeah, but that's my whole point.
And so so you're on board that Ohtani is more valuable now than Trout.
First player.
And when I'm saying valuable, I'm saying who you going to get for, who you going to get more for on the open trade market.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying value-wise.
You're saying, I think it's different.
To teams, who's more valuable?
Trade-wise?
Well, you don't think it translates to more wins as well? Like, isn't that, the evaluation that GMs are making?
Of course.
If both,
because pitching war and batting war are different if you combine the two.
Like, I still need to see him do it for a full year.
Right.
We have the second half to go.
That's true.
Before I could say that he's more valuable in a trade market. But we also in a visual, like a media market.
Oh, yeah.
Ohtani.
Yeah. We also
Trout's
know.
Not fun.
We also know what Trout has done. Like, and statistically, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going to bring back, has it translated to
wins.
Playoff success in a World Series.
Zero.
No.
And has it translated to fun media success?
It hasn't. But at the same time, the Angels organization did a terrible job going around him.
Of course, it's not just
contracts always.
No,
always.
He's done everything that he could do.
Right.
You need pitching.
But it's a team game.
If you put him on another team, I'm 75% sure that he would have won a championship. Any other team.
Any.
Dude, the Royals won a World Series.
They had a complete team. And you know who they won the World Series with? Eric Hosmer, and we'll close on Brandon Finnegan.
And Alex Gordon.
And Alex Gordon, who's the only player in the history of baseball to pitch in the college and MLB World Series in the same year.
You know who else was on that team?
Wow.
Yeah.
James Shields. And you know who James Shields netted the Padres?
That was ridiculous.
Fernando Tatis Jr., baby.
It is one of the worst trades. This is probably one of the worst trades in the history of sports, honestly. I think I'll go down. People look at that trade and be like, what crack was anyone smoking? All right, we're the Charity Stripe. We out show. We love you. Hit your free throws.
Because they're free.
Thank you for joining us. Please catch the Charity Stripe every Thursday at 6 p.m. on the Mightier 1090 AM SoCal Sports Talk.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.